Hey everyone, this is Karen, and you're listening to the Raising Tiny Disciples podcast, where parents receive encouragement in their daily journey to disciple their kids to be followers of Jesus. Discipleship isn't a program, it's a lifestyle. Now let's do this. The session today was a little longer than usual, so I'm breaking it into a part one and part two. So you are currently listening to part one. So be sure to listen to part two after this one. Hey there, welcome back to the podcast. We are in day two of session two, and today's title of this Bible study today is called He is Equal. I hope you are enjoying the Bible study so far as I am, and relating to some of the things that the author is saying and feeling encouraged by the materials that she's given us. But she says today, think with me about how parents typically introduce their children. For instance, when introducing her children, does a mom say, "Hi, this is Tommy. He is our middle child, but he is the most important child in our family. This little guy is little Teddy. He is the next in significance to me, but he was born last, and this is our firstborn, Minnie, but I introduce her last because, well, she is the least special in our family." Right? Could you even imagine that? That would just be ridiculous. But the order in which parents name their children doesn't represent their significance in the family. It represents the revelation of the children into the parents' lives. Okay, we're going to put all this together in just a minute. It's going to make a lot of sense. It's kind of weird opening up with that little analogy, but as we walk through it, you're going to understand why she put that in there. But because she says, like, where am I going with this? It's been suggested, and many assume, that because the Holy Spirit is the last to be named in the Trinity, and because his work is last to be emphasized in Scripture, he is the least in significance in the Godhead, but that couldn't be further from biblical truth. So as she was explaining this, I had a revelation of, okay, she's right. Like, how God is revealed first as the Father through Scripture, then Jesus comes on the scene, and then Jesus, is crucified, comes back, goes to heaven, and then he sends the Holy Spirit. So when we say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's not a list of who is the most significant to the least significant. It is how they are revealed throughout history and throughout Scripture. And that just really hit me as a huge revelation that I had not really thought about previously. But she says, "I confess that my analogy falls a bit short because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are eternal. So they didn't come into being like our children. But I hope it helps you think about the Holy Spirit's equality in a fresh way." And today we are going to discover how the order in which we say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit when speaking align with the way they exist, which is kind of what I just explained about, okay, the Father begets the Son is begotten by the Father, and the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. So, the Son comes from the Father, the Son sent the Spirit. It just kind of has this trickle-down effect. Okay, so now we're going to open our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'm going to read in verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord our God, the Lord is one." This central verse of Israel's faith teaches us that there is only one God. Okay, now we're going to take a look in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to start to see the Trinity here. So Matthew 28, and I'm going to read verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Okay, and now I'm going to read some verses from John. And she says that she wants us to pay attention to the commonalities in what Jesus says each time. So in John 14:16, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." John 14:26 says, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." And then John 15:26 says, "But when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." So based on these three verses, the Father will send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, at the request of Jesus. And some of the things that the Holy Spirit will do, you know, he will be with us forever. He will teach us all things. He will bring to our remembrance what we have been taught by the Word, and he will bear witness about Jesus. So there is one God with one being who is distinct and in persons, right? He has three persons make up one Godhead, right? So is this similar to or different from how you've thought about the Holy Spirit's equality in the Trinity? I'm just trying to look at this and see if I just totally messed that up. Let me back up and just read this part. The Holy Spirit is one of the three persons equal with the Father and the Son, and yet, so often as Christians, we neglect the Spirit's significance and forfeit benefiting from his distinct function in our lives and our parenting. Okay, that makes more sense now. Sorry. So it says, is this similar to or different from how you've thought about the Holy Spirit's equality in the Trinity? Explain. You know, my thing is, like, I was just so ignorant of the Holy Spirit's importance. I've kind of talked about that in previous lessons. But it's true, because for one thing, the churches that I was involved in did not give any significance to the Holy Spirit. They didn't shine any kind of light on who the Holy Spirit is. Obviously, they themselves didn't know who the Holy Spirit is and didn't see his significance, or they would have taught it. And so this is something that the Lord has just revealed to me himself, and that I have just have had to figure out on my own. And so now that I know how significant the Holy Spirit is, I'm happy about it that I realized that, but also I really kind of mourned all of those years of being a believer and not having the Holy Spirit, or me not acknowledging the Holy Spirit and inviting him to work in my life through those years like he could have, which I know that the Lord redeems time. And so I do believe that he will redeem that time. But still, it's sad to think about that I missed all of those years, you know, without being close to the Holy Spirit and him not being able to do a work in my life because I was ignoring him. So, it says he is indispensable. If we lack attention to an affection for the Spirit's distinct function in our lives, we will be left powerless to live life to the fullest, which Jesus came to give us. And that's just kind of what I was just explaining. Like, you know, when I realized that I had been powerless all of those years, I was really grieved by that. It made me really sad. But our faith will flourish to the extent that we are fueled by the Spirit. Our lives will produce the fruit of the Spirit to the extent that we are filled with the Spirit. That is so true. I am seeing that so clearly, because before 2 years ago, even though I had been a believer for many years, there was no fruit in my life. There was absolutely no spiritual fruit in my life. And I could not understand why, if I was a believer, why I wasn't changing. And the truth is because I was not allowing the Holy Spirit to produce that fruit in my life. I wasn't asking Him to produce that fruit in my life. And so it is true that we will produce as much fruit as we are filled with the Spirit. And so I was not filled with the Spirit. So there was, in fact, no fruit. So why does this matter for us as moms today? Because if we treat Him, the Holy Spirit, as the least significant, we forgo the supernatural work He wants to do in our lives. He is indispensable in us becoming more of the moms we long to be. Yep, there it is, folks. There is the answer to all your mommy problems, you know, right there. The Holy Spirit, He has to do the supernatural transforming, right? If we want to be more patient with our children, who doesn't? When we are tested beyond our limits, we need the Holy Spirit to manifest His patience in us. So, you know, before I came to really be in relationship with the Holy Spirit, I was reading parenting blogs. I was buying parenting courses, you know, secular things, trying to figure out how to be a better parent and how to be more patient, how to not yell at my children. And I was following their programs and I was doing everything that they said, and it still wasn't working. And I just couldn't understand why it wasn't working. I'm just like, well, I must just be broken. Like, I must just be like the worst human being on the planet if this stuff isn't working for me. But the fact is the only thing that will work is the Holy Spirit working in us and producing that fruit in us. So I really fully believe that there is no way that we can be patient with our children without the Holy Spirit, because the Word of God, which is what we're about to read, the Word of God says that patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So let's read Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Oh, yeah. So how does this verse speak to our need for the Spirit when we are impatient? If we want to have more hope about our children's future, when we see them making foolish choices, we need the Holy Spirit to make hope abound in us. So let's read Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This verse really spoke to me when I read it, because not with my children yet. I mean, my children are still young, you know, and I think that, you know, as they get older, if they do become wayward, you know, after they're grown, I know that I can go back and I can pull this verse out and have hope. But there is a family member that I do have that I have been praying for many years. And at different times, I just lose hope. I lose hope that this person will ever change. I lose hope that this person will ever submit to the Lord. And I hate feeling hopeless. Like, that is the worst feeling. When you're praying for someone, you just feel absolutely hopeless. So this verse really gave me comfort because I began to pray for the Holy Spirit to put hope in me. I did not realize that hope was produced by the Holy Spirit. I thought that was something that I produced. And so I felt guilty when I would lose hope for this family member. I would just feel so guilty. But this verse clearly shows us that it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we have hope and that we have joy and we have peace. So that verse just really gave me a lot of comfort today. And I know that I will be able to fall back on that verse in the future. So now we're going to turn to Acts 13, verse 52. And she says, if we want to show more joy in our homes when people are unpleasant or days are just downright hard or circumstances are exhausting, we need the supernatural joy that comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's read Acts 13, 52. It says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And I think it's interesting that both Romans 15, 13 and Acts 13, 52 both mention being filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with joy. So when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are automatically filled with joy. And I remember that first time that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit. What amazing joy I had. I mean, I was so high on cloud nine, like there was absolutely nothing that could bring me down. And I still feel that joy as he continues to fill me up. I just have joy. No matter what life brings, no matter what the day brings, I still have so much joy. And, scripture says joy comes from the Lord, and it's so true. And I am so thankful. Says, have you longed to be more patient, more hopeful, more joyful? Yes, I think as parents and just being in this life in general, we can all say that we have longed to be more patient, more hopeful, and more joyful. And then she asks, what else do you need more of? And for me, specifically, I have been in need of being more gentle, right? Which is also a fruit of the Spirit. And so in the recent weeks, I have just been asking the Holy Spirit to work in that area of my life specifically, to give me more gentleness, to be more gentle with everyone around me, my husband, my children, the children that I teach at church. I don't like to respond with, a quick snip of anger or frustration. And I always feel guilty afterwards when I respond that way. So I broke down just in tears and just asked the Holy Spirit, please produce gentleness in me. And I can really see a difference. Even in the past several days and weeks that I have seen him producing that gentleness in me. Now, I'm not saying that every situation is always perfect, but I do see scenarios that where I would have normally, in times past, I would have normally responded in frustration and anger. I see now that I am responding in gentleness and in love. And it feels so good to know that he is changing me in that way and that I can actually be changed and I'm not just a broken person, that I really can be changed. So she says, based on what we've learned today, how significant is the Spirit to you experiencing the more? Well, it's beyond words. I mean, without the Spirit, we cannot experience the more. Without the Spirit, we cannot be changed. This is the end of part one. To keep listening, go on to part two.